Ronnie, I'm going to start you. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisrael. So, we started discussing last week about the issa of having Anoah from the Menorah, and we said that we would discuss, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, what are the reasons why we're not allowed to use the Menorah. What's the reason why we're not allowed to have Anoah from the Menorah? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down two reasons. Shemoyate is only on Friday night. A whole week it can be Mata. The Mishnah Berurah did say, we said that last week, that on Friday night there's an extra reason why you mustn't use the Menorah. There's an extra chashash of not using the Menorah because of Shemoyate, because if it's not burning properly, you might adjust it in order that you can see. And therefore, if you can't use it for seeing, if you can't use it for counting or for reading or for whatever it is, then we're not worried Shemoyate. That's on Friday night. The rest of the week, there are two reasons. One reason is, Poshet, that you should be able, it's an Indian of Pirsum Enissa. It's an Indian that this Menorah is Meyuchad for the publication of the Ness. It's not a candelabra or a light, lantern that I'll take around, holding it and going around the house in order to see my way up the stairs to the bedroom or whatever it is. Yeah, it's not a candelabra, it's not a light, it's not a lantern. It is a chefet shal mitzvah, and it's muktzah, so to speak. It's miyuchad, it's reserved for that mitzvah. That's reason number one that the Mishnah Berurah brings down. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a second reason, and he says that although it's not an exact replica, but sof kol sof, our menorah is a zecher lemikdosh, is a zecher to the menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdosh. And the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh was an issa me'ila. You weren't allowed to use the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh either in that way, in order to, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to read a book or learn or something by the light of the menorah, you weren't allowed to have Anor from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, as a zecher to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh, which our menorah is, although it's not identical, it's got eight lights, it's not made out of gold, etc., etc., it's still, that's a zecher to the menorah, and therefore, as a zecher to the menorah, where you're not allowed to have Anor from the menorah itself, therefore, who are we don't have any Anor from the menorah that we light for the Shem Nenes. So we've got two reasons in the Mishnah Berurah. I saw last night in the Chuvas of the Maram Shik, he brings down something interesting. He says, although the mitzvah of Hanukkah is a mitzvah midrabanan, it must be because the story of Hanukkah happened after the completion of the Sefer of the Torah. Yeah, although it's a mitzvah midrabanan, he wants to suggest that it could be that the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa is a mitzvah deraisa. The chiyuv to be mefarsim, a nes that happens, could be midaraisa. Where does he get it from?
How do you fit that in?
It's fine, yeah? A nes happens, right? The mitzvahs are a chiyuv drabonon. Okay, so therefore if it's a sofik, etc., etc., we know it's a drabonon, it's not a deraisa.
Which one dominates,
I don't know. But it's only his suggestion. His suggestion comes from here. He says as follows. He says, we learned yesterday that Reuven saved, we read yesterday in the Torah, that Reuven saved the life of Yosef. The brothers wanted to kill him. And he said, don't kill him, throw him into the pit. And the Torah says, the man, he would come back afterwards, he would rescue him and he would return him to his father. But until then, the idea was throw him into the pit. So, and the Pasuk says, that the haboy reik, the boy was empty, ein boy mayim, there was no water, and everybody knows the chazal that says there was no water in it, but there was nechoshim and akrabim. So there was nechoshim and akrabim in this pit, and he was thrown into the nechoshim and akrabim. It's bederech hateva, the norm should have been that they didn't gain anything. They were going to kill him actively with their hands, and now they've thrown him into a pit where he's going to be bitten by a snake, or stung by a scorpion, and therefore he's not going to live there anyway. Yeah, he's going to die anyway. But somehow the brothers were saying, or Reuven suggested to the brothers, at least let's not do it be or die. We'll throw him into the pit, and then what happens. It's not our concern, cover your fault. And now, Avraham Ken, he was saved. Yeah, the choshim didn't bite him, and the scorpions didn't sting him. Yeah, so he says the Torah has gone out of its way when it says, "V'haboy reik, ein boy mayim." Avon Nechoshe Ma'akravim Yesh Boy, the Torah's gone out of its way to tell you about a Nes that happened. It's Bersumei Nisa. Why did the Torah have to tell me that? Yeah, the Torah told me that. The Torah is saying that a Nes happened to Yosef, that he was thrown into a pit.
Was?
Yeah, it's a Gemara. It's the Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos is discussing about the Gemara Shabbos on Chaf Aleph or Mad Aleph, I think it is. Yeah, the Gemara is discussing the menorah, the man of Mesrin speaking.
Now go fetch him.
What?
Just come in. I'll go.
Where is he? Reaches how far? I don't know. It takes. Okay.
So I'll go and fetch him. Just.
Oh really? Okay.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Oh dear, we're going to have to fill in for a bit. Okay, speaker's on his way, but he'll be a few minutes. The Gemara Shabbos is discussing that the menorah, which we've discussed here, that the menorah, which is lemalam esrim amo, which is higher than 20 amos, is pesula. How do we know that? Yeah, the Gemara doesn't say. Then the Gemara brings another maimer from the same Baal Memra, from somebody B'Shem Reb Tanchum, I can't remember the long name, but Ploini Ben Ploini B'Shem Ploini, yeah, the same one who says that V'haboy Re Game Boy Mayim Avodachosh Ma'akrav and Yesh Boy. So they say, because why? Because they say that the brothers, did they intend that he should be killed by throwing him into the pit? Yeah, if they knew Nechosh Ma'akrav and Yesh Boy, what have they gained? Yeah, apart from the fact that they're not doing it mamash b'yodayim, but at the end of the day, yeah, if Reuven's intention is that to save him, if Reuven's intention is to save him, then why would he suggest that you throw him into the boy where he's going to get killed?
What? The brothers didn't know that. The
brothers didn't know. Why didn't they know? Yeah. That the hemshech of the two things in the Gemara is because the pit was more than 20 amas deep. And something that's more than 20 amas away from you, you don't see, you don't notice. Yeah? So that's where the Gemara comes up on the Choshim HaKravim Yesh Boy. Says the Maram Sheikh, but you can see that the Torah has gone out of its way to tell you that a Nes happened to Yosef, that there were Nechoshim HaKravim. Yeah, there were Nechoshim HaKravim in the thing, and Afal Pikein, he wasn't killed until such time as they sold him. And therefore he says, you've got a Rayam in our Torah, that if a Nes occurs, that we should mean Mepharis in the Nes.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So that's as far as I prepared for the halacha this morning. So until the speaker arrives, tell you over Chasam Sofer that I heard over the weekend. Yeah? Vayoshev Reuven el Abor, v'hinei en Yosef Babor. Yosef came back, Reuven came back, v'hinei en Yosef Babor, Yosef is not there, and Vayikas Begodov, and he says, Ona Anivo, this is terrible, I'm in major, major trouble. Freidich Chasam Sofer, it's not just him who's in major trouble. So they're all in major trouble. He should have said Ona Anivo, he should have said Onu Anachnu Boim, or whatever the language would be in the plural. Yeah. Why did he only say Onu Anivo? Why did he say that the responsibility is mine? Why is it my responsibility? Adarabba, he's the one who saved Yosef, yeah, at least temporarily. He didn't know at that stage what had happened to Yosef. When he came back and he saw the boy was empty, he assumed that the brothers had killed Yosef in his absence.
Yeah.
Yeah? Says Rashi, where was Reuven? Yeah, Vayoshev Reuven al Aboy. Reuven came back. Says Rashi, where had Reuven been that he came back from? How come he wasn't with his brothers? So one pshat Rashi brings down is that it was his turn, the Shamish is off. They made a rota amongst the brothers, and each of them spent one day a week, or one day every 2 weeks, or whatever the rota came out, looking after their father, and it was his day to be there in order to look after his father, Rashi says.
How did you know about the whole thing to put them in the, to kill him, if he wasn't there with them?
No, he was there with them when they wanted to kill them. He said, don't kill him, yeah, put him in the bar. So they threw him into the bar. Now, Reuven has to go away. So, excuse me, gentlemen, I need to go away because I've got to go back to Yaakov Avinu in order to look after him. And when he came back later, after looking after Yaakov Avinu, the boy was empty. So he assumed, the assumption would be, that the brothers had killed Yosef in his absence. Says Rashi, why did he go away? Why did he leave the brothers? Yeah. And the Sifsei Chachomim says, that unless it was a Dvar Mitzvah, he'd be crazy to leave the brothers on their own with Yosef. Because he knew that the brothers wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
He knew the brothers wanted to kill him. So therefore, there was a risk if he would go away. He was the only one who said, let's save him. Let's not kill him. Yodeinu al tiboy. Yeah, he was the one who said that. Now, if he's going to go away, then maybe the brothers will kill him in his absence. Elamai Rashi says that he went away to do a dvar mitzvah. It was his turn, the Shamish is Oviv, and therefore he had to go. Rashi brings then a second shot. Rashi says that he came back from Sakoi v'ta'anisoi, that he was wearing sackcloth and he'd been fasting. He was doing teshuvah because of Shabilbel Yisue Oviv. What was the story in last week's Sedra? You know what happened? What happened was that Yaakov Elvino, after Rochel died, decided to move in with Bilhah. Bilhah was also his wife, but was the shivcha of Rochel. So he was going to move from Rochel to Bilhah. Reuven thought that would be an insult for his mother Leah. His mother Leah was the first wife, and she was a real wife. She wasn't just a shivcha, and it was his mother. And he wanted that Yaakov should rather move in with Leah. So he moved the bed. He took Yaakov's bed out of Bilhah's tent, and he moved it into Leah's tent. Shteit posuk the vahi at that time boesahi vayishkav Reuven as Bilhah. Reuven did this to with Bilhah's bed. Vayishma Yaakov. And Yaakov heard about it. And then you have a psucho. It's the middle of the posuk. Then you have a psucho in the parsha. And the Torah starts off with a fresh parsha in the Sefer Torah. Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei moso. The Yaakov had 12 sons. What's the connection with Yisrael? Vayishma Yaakov. Sorry, the Yaakov hearing about what Reuven did. And Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei moso, that he had 12 sons. Well, it's in the same posuk, in two halves. One is in this parsha, one is in that parsha. The Chasam Sofer brings down from, I think, the Shlo HaKadosh, and he says as follows. He says, Yaakov's plan when he moved in with Bilhah was that he wanted to have another child. Because Yaakov was getting old, and he needed somebody in Shamshoi to look after him. And it's very important. I mean, all of us, you know, when we get older, it's a bracha to be able to have your children around you. Yeah, and you see examples. My in-laws, Zechariah and Ravrocha, when their children had all moved away and they were on their own, and as they got older, it's very hard. So Yaakov wanted another child, and he planned to have this child with Bilhah, who was Shivchas Rochel, who Rochel was the one that he really loved, but he didn't want to be mishtamish with the Shivtei Kol. The Shivtei Kol were Kedoshim, and the Shivtei Kol had a special task in the world. He didn't want to be mishtamish with the Shivtei Kol for his own personal benefit. His plan was to have another child. He wanted to have a 13th child. Yeah, wouldn't become a, if it was a boy, he would not become a Shevet.
Why not?
He would not become a Shevet because they knew Al Pi Ruach Kodesh there would only be 12. The Horaya, the Leah, when she had fourth child, she said, "Hapamoid is Hashem because I've got more than Chelki, because I'm supposed to get a quarter of 12 because I know Al Pi Ruach Kodesh that there should be only 12 Shvatim." So there are only 12 Shvatim, and Yaakov wanted another child. So therefore, he planned to do this with Bilhah, and Reuven ruined that. Reuven spoiled that, because Reuven moved into Leah. He didn't plan to have the other child with Leah, so he gave up the plan. He gave up the plan of having another child. Later, maybe tomorrow morning, before the Shia, we'll finish off the Dvar Torah. Shkoyach.
The suspense.
Where's Ronnie?
Tow away Northwest London, Sunday, Erev Chanukah. Yeah. Erev Chanukah must be Chof Dalad. Chof Dalad. Yeah, Kislev. And which day in December? 14th of December. Arav Shagav Havel Zimmerman Shlita. And the subject is Chanukah.
Good morning. Actually, on the notice, they wrote down Lekav Tzchus, but that was the shiur that I said last time. But it was just a test. Since Hashem made it that I'm going to come late, we wanted to see if you'll be done with Lekav Tzchus. Now, we can speak about Hanukkah. Every Yom Tov has, it's a zman that something happened, and there's a certain avoda. For example, Pesach, zman cheruseinu. At the same time, what's the avoda of Pesach? Is strengthening our amuna and transmitting it to next generations. Shuas, zman matan teraseinu. We work on our own Kabbalah Satira. Sukkot, Zman Simchaseinu, Mitzvah Simcha, but also work on our Betochen. What is the Avodah of Chanukah? Avodah Chanukah, we're celebrating a Nes, and the Mitzvah is Pirsum a Nes, but what is the Avodah of Chanukah? And Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch writes, the Avodah of Chanukah is to reflect on Chinuch. Chinuch Habanim V'Habanos. Probably because the word Chanukah and Chinuch have the same Sheirish. So Mamela, that is the Avodah. To reflect upon Chinuch. Taking it maybe a bit further, it's not just the words sound the same. The Piyasechna Rebbe in Chayvus HaTalmidim says like this. What is Chinuch mean? Let's say Chanukas HaMizbeach. That's what happened on Chanukah. Chanukas HaBayis. You have a house. The house is built already. Its dimensions cannot be altered. What you can do is dedicate this house for a certain usage. He says the same thing. You have a child, a grandchild. The kid is formed already. The day he's born, he has his neshama, he has his personality. None of it is changeable. All you can do is dedicate it and form it in the right direction. And that is the Avodah of Chanukah. My grandfather, my mother's father, was called Rabbi Yosef Yonah Tzvi Horovitz. He was the last Rav of Frankfurt in Germany. He was deported after Kristallnacht, he was arrested, then deported. And he said that not only is Chanukah a time when you think about Chinuch, but if you'll go through the halachas of Chanukah, you'll learn all you need to know about the halachas of Chinuch. Now let's go through the laws of Chanukah. Mitzvah Chanukah. What is the mitzvah of Chanukah? To light menorah. Ner ish ubeisai. One candle, one light per family. He said, this is, teaches us something about Chinuch. Of course, there's a general Chinuch tayag mitzvahs. Everyone has to keep tayag mitzvahs. But every family has to have its own value system, its own theme. In our family, this is what we do. Because, besides all of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided it into family units, and every family has to have a certain value system. This is the pride of our family. Das a mitzvah Chanukah ner ish ubeisai. Steht weit in the Gemara. Mahadrin, people that are mahadr in Ner Chanukah, keneged Yemei HaChag. You light more every day. This is to teach us that chinuch has to change in accordance with the times. You can't take the same chinuch that you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, and do it today. Times change. As life goes on, you need to keep up and update your chinuch to the times. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. What's the mamish, the best form of chinuch? Is ne'er l'chol echad v'echad. Every child needs his own chinuch. Hanoich l'na'al pidarka. Even if you're all part of the same family, anyone who has a few children can tell you that they're b'chol not the same. They're very different. Same parents, same schools, same environment, and totally different. For us, because they have different neshamas. And therefore, mahadin mina mahadin is ne'er l'chol echad v'echad. You have to light a separate ne'er for each person. Just want to add, if I could add a vart myself to it, the Ramah holds that when we do mahadin mina mahadin, we do both together. Ne'er l'chol echad v'echad and ne'er l'fi hazman. So if we'll put these thoughts together, It's not only that every child needs its own chinuch, and every age needs its, every era needs its own chinuch, but every age needs its own chinuch in the same child. What works when the children are young, do not be mechanuch your 15-year-old like you do your 5-year-old. It doesn't go. Things have to move. Things have to change. I know a lot of my children, the older ones, complain that we were much more lenient with the younger ones than we were with the older ones. We were stricter, and they get, you know, and the younger ones, you let them get away with it. I think in every family, the older kids complain like that. And I always tell them, you know, just to appease them, that when I was young, I had kayach and no seichel, and now I have seichel with no kayach. That's how I explain it to people. But the reality is, it's a bit more than that. The reality is that things change. And if I would do what we did with our oldest child and to our youngest child, it wouldn't work b'chlol. So it's not only the lack of strength, which is also true, but, and like I say, the more the ribi of seichel, which you see, not everything is important, you don't have to shtelzach on everything, but it's changed. Let's go further. When you light keneged achag, ida machlikus beishamay beishilu. Beishamay oimrim poiches v'hoilach. Beishilu oimrim moise v'hoilach. Beishamay oimrim poiches v'hoilach keneged parei achag. And just like the kavanas of Yontif. Beishilu oimrim moise v'hoilach malen b'koydish v'emirin. So he explained as follows. Parei achag keneged the umas ha'olam. That refers to hashpas of the umas ha'olam. Moisef ha'olam, ma'alam b'kodesh, is the hashpa of kodesh. Every education has to have a balance of kodesh education and chayil education. But as when the child is younger, it's an absolute balance. As the children get older, you have to start being poiches v'hoilach on the keneged the parei achag, and moiseh v'hoilach in the chinuch of kedusha. Let's go further. Next halacha. Ner Hanukkah that you put lamala mechof ama psula. That means it, when you mechanuch children, you shouldn't aim too high. Sometimes people expect the children to be tzaddikim gemurim. Mamish, Kedoshim Merechem, even though they themselves were not. That's human nature. So you should not, if you make your menorah too high, you strive too high, you expect too much from them, this apostle chinuch. But at the same time, lamata megimel tvachim zeich apostle. If you don't expect to elevate them, you don't expect to uplift them, you want them to remain on the ground, this eich apostle. Let's go further. Mitzvah Chanukah, al Pesach beisai mibechutz. You put the menorah outside. You know, we say in Moasur and Yevonim, Ufartzu chaymois migdalai. They punctured the hole, the walls. Which wall did they puncture? So the wall is the Seirik. What was the purpose of the Seirik? The Rosh says in Masechtas Midas, the purpose of the Seirik was to make the Beis HaMikdash into Rishus HaYachid. That's what you need 10 tvachim. Didn't keep people out. There's only 10 tvachim high. You can jump over it. It was make a Rishus HaYachid. What the Yevanim wanted is to break down the Rishus HaYachid and make it part of Rishus HaRabim. To bring the Hashpahs of Rishus HaRabim into a house. What do we do to counteract that? We take the Menorah Meniach al Pesach Besim B'chutz. We want our house to be Mashpia on the Rishus HaRabim, not let the Rishus HaRabim into the house. There's a different chat in Seirig. The Tosfos Yontif says that the Seirig was the place till there a guy was allowed to come in, and after that, not. Another state in Tosfos Yontif. So we have the same idea. You know, the Yevanim were guys on Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. The question is, why these three? If you could be Oika Shabbos and Mila, you can be Oika everything. So why only three? And furthermore, Shabbos and Mila are mamish chayvei krisus or whatever, and Rosh Chodesh is something rather relatively insignificant. So why these three? Zaktis vasemis. That these three things are things that Yidden are different than Goyim. We have a different day of rest, we have a different calendar, and we have a different mark on our body. The Yevanim didn't mind. You can be religious as long as don't think a Yid is under Shvaday. That's about Kislochem al Keren Ashar, Kein Lochem Chelik Belikei Yisrael, not Kein Lochem Chelik Belikim. You want to do ceremonies because I'm to hate. You want God that liked ceremonies. But Ein Lochem Chelik Belikei Yisrael. When they Faratzu Chaimis Migdolai, they took the Seirig, which is the Mavdal of Akum and Yisrael, and they went and they broke it down. Those are some of the thoughts on Chinuch. In Parshas told us, it says that Yitzhak loved Esav ki tzayed befiv. And Targum says, because he ate his food. He had certain negiyas. If you look in the Ramban, Ramban says four lashonis. He says he loved him because he ate the food. That's all he ever ate. He never ate anything else. And that's what he eats constantly. Now it sounds like Yitzchak had barbecued steak three times a day. Because who eats meat all the time? And this is all he eats, never eats anything else. What's the problem then? So I once had a mechanech davened in my shul in Muncie, his name is Rav Matcha Berg, and he told me a pshat like this. Everyone dreams to have a child that you could sit and talk to him about tzeis achayshins and kivegas. That's what he's interested in. But what do you do if you have a child who's only interested in football? In America he said baseball, the Latins are in football. So what do? Even though it doesn't interest you b'chol, a bunch of grown men running, kicking a ball, and running after it. But you have to develop an interest in it. Because if you want to have a shaychus with your child, you have to be interested in what he's interested. Asa was interested in meat, in hunting, in meat. That's what he was. So Yitzchak, who wanted to develop a relationship with him, he figured, you know something? I got to get into meat also. And that's what the Ramban means. This is all he ate. He never ate anything else. This is what he was waiting for. Not Prata Hitaka cared himself. Yitzhak Avinu would have been very happy with Paspa Melech Teichu. But he wanted to connect to his son. And therefore he did it via what interested the son. It says by David HaMelech, he was Mephazaz Mecharaka B'fnei Ha'ab. He was dancing in front of the Aron, and Michal saw it. Michal looked down at him. The pasuk says, "Michal didn't have a child anymore." Question is, why does she deserve such a terrible einish not to have a child? So I had a thought that as follows: what's pshat? Michal understood, the level of David HaMelech, when he's in front of the Aron, he should be like dumbstruck, he should be totally focused on the Shechina, he should be not movable even. So what's Pshat he's dancing? And you don't know what's Pshat in David HaMelech? David HaMelech, if he was alone, wouldn't have been dancing, he would have been focusing, contemplating. But there were simple people out there, and he wanted to show them how chashuv the Torah is. They have no other way of understanding it other when they see the king dancing in front of it. It must be that it's very chashuv. That's what David HaMelech was thinking. Michal did not understand why you're lowering yourself to Ramayinam. Zakt the Beinish Leilam. Michal, you can't raise children. You can't raise children by expecting them to, at the beginning, to be like you. You raise children by lowering yourself to them. And if it wasn't a punishment, you didn't do an avera. She expected more from him, but she was mistaken. If you don't understand that chinuch requires you to adapt yourself to your children and their interests and the like, you're not worth, you cannot raise children. This is a thought that I had. I said it over at a chasna in Gateshead. And then I wondered if I got carried away with myself. Because, you know, you're a speaker. Sometimes you give yourself to rhetorical flourishes that are not exactly push and trot. And I wondered, tell me, did I, you know, I was thinking to myself, is this taka, I mean, a good vart it is, but, shein vart, but is this, can you even contemplate that this is prat? So, I had a reality check, the Shiva Rebbe Avram Gurwitz, used to sit next to me at weddings, and I said, no, Shiva, what did you think of this vart? And he said, as follows, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Umichal Basral Vehoisel of Lod ad Yoy Moisa, al the Yoy Moisa she did have a child. So he says, you see that she could have children, she just couldn't raise children. He says, yeah, Sinit and Liomer, so I gotta ask him on this heart. Let us learn the lessons of Hanukkah. Mitzvahs Hanukkah ner ishu beisai. Every house has to have its own values, things that they have pride in, things that they look up to, things that this is how they want the house to look. And a child feels, I'm part of this house that has this system. Vaita Mahajan is ner l'chol yoyim. Every day, times change. You can't light do the same thing on the eighth day that you did on the first day. Times change and you have to update your chinuch. Mahajan minahajan is ner l'chol echad v'echad. Every chanoich l'nar al pidarakai. Not to light on the ground. We have no aspirations, no shifas. But don't make it l'mala m'chaf amah. Don't make your aspirations too high. You're just going to chase people away. Your madlik al pesach beisai chutz. You have your house influencing the rishus harabim. Don't let the Rishus Rabbim in. Be makbid on the havdolas of Umas HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. So in a book they once asked, there was a gathering of day school teachers in America. And they asked Rabbi Weinberg, who's a Shiva of Ner Yisrael of Baltimore, in fact, we're in the school where we preach against Shabbos, we preach about Shabbos, half the parents will get insulted and pull out their kids. Tefillin, all of them will pull out. Whatever we say is no good. So is there any purpose in having a Yiddish school where you can't talk about Yiddishkeit? And he told them, I'll give you, or shall we quit? And he said, I'll give you the red line which you quit. As long as you can say in the school, Asher Bach HaBonim Mikol HaAmim, that a Yid is different than a guy, you should keep it up, even if you can't talk about any mitzvahs. The second you're not allowed to say that anymore, then it's time to walk out of the school. And therefore, a child has to know. Adults have to know. Asher Bach HaBonim Mikol HaAmim. Am Yisrael is different. Shabbos, Chodesh, Mila. In the days of a week, in our calendar, and the marks on our body, we are different. There is a seirig in the Beis HaMikdash to differentiate how close people can come to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Let us celebrate the Chag of Hanukkah Kilchasa, which means learning the lessons on it, and Al Anisim, Al Perukim, Al Truas, Melchomas, Shasis La Hosein, Al Bayam, Al Mahem, we should be zeichet to see Bizman HaZeb, Meir of Yemen.